Today we are continuing in our summer series, the first half called The Old Testament in Seven Sentences, and then we'll continue after that with the same thing for the New Testament. In fact, Jim Hinton's Sunday School class is using those same two books as their curriculum for the summer. In the sermons, we'll be doing a little bit higher level overview of those same themes. So I want to remind you what we've done already, the first two themes, and then today we'll look at a third sentence or theme of the Old Testament. The first week, from Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We talked about creation and its goodness and the image of God in humanity and the fall. And that led us right to the question, what's the answer? What's God going to do? The second sentence, the second key theme, is from Genesis 12:3. It says this, all people on earth will be blessed through you. And that's God speaking to Abraham. And this is the solution, God's response, God's coming after us, moving towards us, humanity, to rescue us. And we talked about the covenant promises that God made to Abraham. Most notably for us, the third of those promises, there was children and land. The third was blessing, not just to bless Abraham and his children, but through them, all of humanity and the world and the nations. You may remember that illustration of pouring the liquid into the one vessel and it overflowed onto the rest. Today, we come to a third sentence or key theme. It comes from Exodus 20, verse 2, and it's this. God speaking, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. We're going to look today at really at two themes. This verse is a hinge verse between the story of God's redemption, and we'll look at that in Exodus, and the story of God's blessing. Remember, that's that covenant, third covenant promise. So redemption and blessing, right? And this verse is the hinge that connects those two, and we're going to look at that connection together. So first, redemption. The story of the Exodus, the story in Exodus, is the story of God saving, God rescuing his people. You read the story and they had ended up in Egypt and were enslaved there for some 400 years. And we read the details of that from beatings and enslaved labor to, in some cases, purging the killing the boy infants to control the population. And the people were suffering and crying out to God. And we read that God heard their cries and he raised up Moses. So there's all kinds of stories within this story, but God raised up Moses and his life is one worth examining, both how he was delivered during one of those killings of all the male children. He was spared and grew up in Pharaoh's court, but then fled. And as an old man, God called him, got his attention, and said, I want you to do this thing for me. Go to Pharaoh. And so this old man, who had a speech impediment, couldn't speak well, went and confronted the ruler of Egypt, the Pharaoh, understood to be a god, and demanded that he let God's, the true God's people, go. And so there were plagues and the showdown between the God of Israel and the God of Egypt. And ultimately, God delivered his people by parting the Red Sea, and they passed through safely, and then by closing the Red Sea and defeating the Egyptian army. So it was not only a deliverance of God's people, but what we talked about last week, that God's keeping of the covenant, God put his own name at stake, his own reputation, in a sense, his own existence. God gave that name to Moses at the burning bush, and it was a showdown between the God of Israel and Pharaoh, and God was victorious. And so as God's people left Egypt, they set out on that path to the Promised Land. It's called the Promised Land because it was one of the things promised in the covenant. And so they head out through the wilderness towards the Promised Land, and it's there that we get to our hinge verse, right, and the giving of the law. So Exodus 23, our verse for today, is actually the prologue to the Ten Commandments. It is God speaking through Moses to call to mind the Exodus story that's just happened, the rescue story. I am the Lord your God. God names himself. I brought you out of Egypt, out of slavery. And then God gives the law through Moses. First the Ten Commandments and then all the rest of the law. I didn't start out saying we're going to talk about redemption and law. I said redemption and blessing. And so I want to try to explain the connection between the giving of the law, God's law, and God's blessing. So I want to say two things. One is to address a misunderstanding of the law, and then one to speak to its purpose. The misunderstanding is this. Often we read the Ten Commandments or the Old Testament laws, and we think that's what you have to do to be saved. Right? We give them salvation authority. But the law was not given for salvation. God had already done that. He had just saved his people. Right? That's in the Old Testament. God had just physically saved his people, but God also saves in the New Testament, spiritually and eternally through Jesus. The law was never given for salvation of any of those kinds. It's always God. Every time God saves. Right? So what is the purpose of the law? It is a way to experience, if you obey, if you follow God's law, it's a way to experience God's blessing. And again, I'll recall last week, blessing is not material prosperity, per se. It is captured in that Hebrew idea of shalom. It is well-being. It is healing and health. It is peace. It is blessing, and it's mutual blessing. It involves others. It's not just me and what do I get, but it's always between parties, that idea of shalom. So the law is given to allow God's people to experience shalom. It's tied intimately to those covenant promises to Abraham, the third of which is, I will bless you, I will give you shalom so that you may bless humanity, the world, and the nations. So the law is to help Abraham's children and descendants, and even us, to experience God's shalom, which is given to be shared. The way the author of the book that's kind of setting up this the Sunday school class and the sermons for this summer, it's the first one is called The Old Testament in Seven Sentences. This is how the author of that book puts it. The law is given not as a condition of our salvation, but a condition of our mission. The mission being blessing, shalom. So I'm going to say just a little bit more about blessing as our mission, our purpose, our calling. A familiar way that we hear that is that we are blessed to be a blessing. But I want to dig into that a little bit. God's work, God's self-described work, right, is to bless humanity, the world, and the nations. It is an undoing of the fall, a recreating of what God declared good. God invites us through blessing, through shalom, to join in that work. But we don't do the work to be saved. We are saved to do that work. We're saved for that mission with God. So what does that look like for us? It looks like joining the risen Christ. Remember some of the things he said and did. Joining Jesus, right, to proclaim release to the captives, to proclaim healing and wholeness, shalom again, to the sick, right, to declare the presence of the kingdom of God in our midst, right? To care for people's spiritual and physical and emotional well-being. Again, shalom. It's why we care, why we engage in justice in the face of injustice. It's why we follow that call to love our neighbor, to enact that in our own neighborhoods, our own communities, our own spheres of influence. It's why we have a Friends of Timothy, right? We collect in order to care for acts of mercy and compassion, both within our church community and our neighboring community. It's why we have deacons. It's why we as Christians engage in acts of care and help and mercy and justice and compassion. All those things you read about in Scripture, we do them not to get rewarded, not to be saved, but because that is the mission, that is the very promise that God calls us into. It's why God has rescued us. My prayer is that God will open our eyes and stir up our hearts and our passions and our commitment to join in that work. It is one of the questions I've been asking here for a long time of our congregation. And let me remind you of that. To ask, what is God doing in and around me? And how can I be a part of that? That's the mission question. Right? If God has saved me and I'm tuned in at all to God and what God is doing, that's the question. What is God doing in and around me, and how can I be a part of that? Or as a church, what is God doing in and around us, and how can we be a part of that? May God stir us, and give us boldness and courage and obedience to ask and follow after that question. Next week, we'll come to the fourth of seven Old Testament sentences, the fourth theme. Let me tell you what that is. It's from 1 Samuel 13, has David in mind. And the verse says this, "The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and has appointed him ruler of his people." And we're going to look at David and the story and the purpose of God's calling David. So may God give us ears to hear, hearts to follow. Amen.